John, you mentioned you're volunteering with the United Way, the Chamber, the mm-hmm. the Greater Burlington. Mm-hmm. What prompted you to decide, you know what, I'm ready to make that run for city council?
Well, I've thought about it for years, but being in the retail business as I was, it wasn't the timing wasn't right, and I wouldn't put my family through that. And then when I went to work for the Hawkeye, they basically said I couldn't because it wouldn't be fair to the reporters or me. But I've been thinking about it for a long time because Burlington's been very good to my family and my friends, and I love the community. It does have some issues, by the same token, you know, the big secret is that Burlington's a great little town. You know, every year we've been voted the last few years as one of the top micropolitans in the United States. We've won the Economic Development Cup 2 years back to back along the Mississippi River. The Burlington area is fantastic, and typically there's been a shortage of candidates in the past, and I thought, well, now I'd step up. And as luck would have it, we were blessed with 15 candidates this year. So,
what do you think is something about Burlington that people take for granted?
Well, I definitely think people take for granted the Mississippi River. It's you know, we're a river town, and when people come out of town, it's the first thing they want to see. But we don't capitalize on it nearly enough, I don't think, as far as what we could be doing with the river. The other thing I think people take for granted is, you know, it's easy to throw brickbats at your city and look at all the issues, but we've got a lot of things that we're the envy of a lot of towns in the United States. You know, we've got a lot of the bigger city amenities on a smaller scale. And so I think there's a lot of great things happening in Burlington, and I'd like to capitalize on that and then work on the issues that we have.
What do you think could be done at the river? What would you like to be seen done at the river that maybe is not being underutilized at this point?
You know, one of the things that's kind of weird about it is you can't walk across the Mississippi from Burlington. You can't walk across the Great River Bridge. It's against the law unless there's a run or something on it. And there's no place for pedestrian traffic to do that. And one of the things that I saw on the river flood wall project was a floating boardwalk. I think that is a brilliant idea that would work with our dock systems, which need to be enlarged. The other pet project, I served on the Riverfront Advisory Committee, and Charlie Walsh has had this idea for a while, and we have a pier with a walkway and the binoculars out there. You can walk out on the river. There's another pier to the north of it. It would be really cool to have a walkway over to that pier and then back to land, so you could kind of walk over the river in a U-shape, which is what they've kind of done with the Grand Canyon. Obviously, it's not the scope and scale, but it would still give people something to do, you know, and involve the river and look through the binoculars. And we need to just promote that there is activities on the riverfront. There's a nice walkway. We could do something like a river to rails walkway and designate it where people could walk through town. So there's a lot of tourism type things I think we could do to capitalize on that.
John, what are those traits or characteristics that you would bring to the Burlington City Council?
Well, I have a lot of experience in small family business. And in small family business, that's no big secret for most of us, means it's a cash flow tight operation. So I'm used to looking at budgets. I'm used to trying to get more done with less. And I'm also used to doing customer service. And basically, you know, a city is a business and the customers are the taxpayers. We have to become better at our communications with our customers and also better in the delivery of services, because we haven't always been great at that. We have a lot of very hardworking, great people working for the city government. But I think from time to time, there's a disconnect is when you go inner departments and or in between departments. So I think we could do some things there and to improve that. And I think I have a lot of experience in that manner. I'm pretty straightforward. I don't play politics, but I also realize that if I'm elected, I reflect the will of the citizens, not necessarily my will. And so I am flexible and on some of those things.
What's an area that you think you could that would improve better communication between how the city communicates to people and how people communicate to the city? What do you think, just from your experience, is a way to improve that?
Well, I definitely think we need to establish a communication chain and keep that communication open. For instance, if a citizen has a question about a rental property, and a code. Well, we need to respond to those people right away. It can't be a response that comes back 2 weeks later and we don't have an answer right away. And I think that comes down with accountability. You know, the general public ought to be able to call a city council person and ask for assistance in getting the answer. And there's never been a time where I've been embarrassed to ask a question. So I think that's one of those things. It's more of a culture type thing that we could start changing by just acting a little differently. I have made a few phone calls from time to time for questions and been not pleased with how long it took to get an answer back. So that's one of the things I would focus on right away is working with the department heads. I know they're stretched thin, but so are we in the private sector here. And we just need to improve our communication level.
John, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing Burlington? And as a council member, how would you address it?
You know, it's no secret that Burlington, like a lot of small cities, has been had some declining population. There's several factors for that. You know, everybody talks about the bad things. That's what the newspaper is going to read, put in print, and that's what on the radio from time to time, and because that's what sells. The crime is an issue that we need to continue to focus on. We need to do better with establishing more community communication back and forth between neighborhoods and the police and cooperation. Those things are, that would be the big thing that I can see. The other thing that I felt is when we had the Weaver plant, the fertilizer plant, there was definitely a weakness exposed in our rental system. I would like to see us do a rental inspection on every property that's going to be rented to a tenant, in between tenants. So a person moves out, we have to go back in, re-inspect it, recertify that it's a safe place to live, and then the landlord could rent it. And then have a committee or a task force that would be there to act as a sounding board when there's a safety issue in a place and then the tenant's at a crossroads with the landlord. I don't want to make business more difficult for landlords. By the same token, I think they ought to be held accountable. If they're going to be in that business, they have to provide a good, safe place to live. And we've definitely had some issues arise when we had the rentals surge that we had during the Weaver plant. So now that we've seen that and we've seen that weakness, let's go fix that.
You mentioned the issue with crime that cities like Burlington deal with. Do you think it's created an image issue for Burlington? And if so, how do you work to reverse that?
Well, I definitely think it's created an issue. Now, I grew up in the 80s in Burlington, which quite honestly, if you would ask me, comparing now to then, during the recession-riddled 80s, it was bad. It was really bad crime-wise back then. And we do have a few instances right now that are definitely concerning. I think what we do is we deal with those. We express to our judges and our county attorney that look, we're not wanting to be a slap on the wrist community. We, you know, and the only way we do that is by voting and communication to those bodies. I think our police department does a fine job apprehending the perpetrators, but I've been disappointed by some of the plea bargains and the verdicts handed down. And I think that's first thing we need to do is get a little tougher on crime. And then we focus on the good things of our community. Yes, every community's got bad stories, but we've got victories every day in Burlington, Iowa. We need to focus on that.
John, any issue or decision by the city council, maybe you really supported it or maybe you really opposed it? Any decision in the last year or so that really stands out to you that the council's made?
Well, I really like the work that they've done the last few years on getting our finances back in order. They've really worked hard. They've had to make some tough decisions that people didn't always like. And so I think they've done a great job with that. And we're on the cusp of, thanks to that council and our city management, of being on solid footing once again. One of the things that I haven't really agreed with, though, lately is our use of TIF and tax abatement and those types of economic development tools. I don't think we're very good at it. And here's the reason why. It doesn't appear that we have a set policy in place for how we're going to use TIF. You know, if we're supposed to use it for blighted or non-developed areas. Can we use it for residential? And we've made some decisions here lately that looks like we're picking the winners and losers on those deals. And in my mind, the rules ought to be set that if it's good for one project, it's good for all for others, as long as they meet the parameters that we set forth. Now, you know, I'm going to be a relentless driver of trying to improve our community, and I want to use every tool that's available to us, whether it's provided by the state or by our city or other options. And so I think we have to be able to have those tools ready in our toolbox to go to work. But we need to know the rules on how we use those toolbox. And I think a lot of people completely understand like a tax increment financing or the TIF. You know, the perception is the developer is lining his pockets. Well, no, not actually. He's, you know, he's putting in infrastructure that typically would be a city's job to put in. And he's getting paid back for that infrastructure, albeit that time he does have a tax advantage for a set period of time until those monies are paid back. But it's still infrastructure that makes our community better down the road. And we need to do a better job on communicating what's available, how it's available, who qualifies, and how it works.
John, any other ideas you have if you were elected, or maybe you've heard from people as you've been out campaigning? Any other ideas or things that you would bring to the council?
You know what? I don't think I'm necessarily the smartest person, but I'm a good listener. So I am listening to a lot of people in the community as far as their thoughts. And there's a lot of great, brilliant people in our community that have a lot of great thoughts on how to improve things. But I haven't really focused on anything besides what we've discussed today.